with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his pathways.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. It must be true that in our society at large, nobody knows anything about Advent. We're not preparing for the coming of the Lord, we're preparing for the coming of Santa Claus. Because that's what the world says. We're saying Merry Christmas, even though it's still Advent. All the decorations and all the shopping and all the preparations we're going through, by and large, somehow eclipse Advent having any value or any significance. Except in our liturgy. Our liturgy calls us in an Advent season to prepare for the way and the coming of the Lord. To prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, not so much Santa Claus. I mean, when Christmas finishes, all the decorations will come down and Santa Claus will be absent for another year. But the Lord, if the Lord has come into our lives, then the Lord is our constant presence. So I'd like to speak about how our readings today summon us to prepare for the coming of the Lord. We are introduced here to John the Baptist, the one who speaks about the Lord's coming. And we are told here about Isaiah chapter 40. He's the new Isaiah. He is the new prophet. He's in the desert. He's dressed in the garments of a prophet, and his diet is the diet of a prophet. So he's portrayed in our first reading and in the gospel as the new Isaiah. And as you know, prophets are not sent to tell us about the future. Prophets are to tell us about what's happening in our lives today. You've heard me say many times, years and years ago, when we studied prophecies, way back in the seminary, we did it in Latin, and we said, they're sent per modum, not per modum habitus, but per modum actus. They're not sent habitually. They're not to preach about everything, but per modum actus, for this moment. So there's something in the prophecy of Isaiah that is meant to speak to us today through our references to John the Baptist. One or two words about the Baptist. We have many pilgrims here who have been to the Holy Land, and you've been to Qumran. Qumran is about 30 miles from Jerusalem on the northwest shore of the Dead Sea. And there in 1947 were discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls in the caves of Qumran, the greatest archaeological finding in biblical literature in the last 100 years. There was living there in the time of Jesus and before Christ, there was a community called the Essenes. They preached a rigorous austerity. There were men only. They were celibate and they lived in a very rigid lifestyle, kind of a monastic lifestyle in that part of the desert. They were living in the wilderness. They were very legalistically rigorous, believing that the Jews at the temple in Jerusalem had compromised the purity of the Hebrew legal tradition. And therefore, they were the ones to somehow restore the deep understanding of a Hebrew tradition in the law. Now, John would have been influenced by the Essenes. We're not sure if he ever belonged to the Essene community, but he certainly was influenced by the doctrine of the Essene community, this sense of kind of rigid conformity. And that's very much what John preaches. And we even find that in our church today. We have people that cling to a rigid conformity, but this is not the gospel. And John makes that very clear. What he is preaching is a preparation for the gospel. One mightier than I will come, and he will preach a new gospel. This is to prepare the way. And therefore, this rigid legalistic thing is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's meant to be some introduction or preamble to the heart and the essence of the gospel. John is a humble man. He says, I am not worthy to stoop and unfasten the sandal straps of the one who comes after me. In the Hebrew tradition, a disciple would do anything for his master, but not untie the sandal straps. Only the slave would do that. And the Baptist says, I am less than a slave. I'm not even worthy to do what is normative for the slave in the Hebrew tradition, because somebody mightier than I is coming after me. The desert is a very strong symbol here, and it has a meaning for us. These people going out into the desert to somehow find a foundation, some meaning in their lives, to confess their sins. For us, the desert may not be a place. It may be an experience, even for a short period of time. It may be a call to look deeper inside ourselves, to begin to address the secret some of us carry inside of ourselves. The unattended sin that we haven't faced. The unacknowledged weakness that somehow is there. It's that part of ourselves that we bury because we don't like it. It disturbs us when it comes to the surface. It might be a person. It might be an experience. Some sin, some failing, some fault in the past that we have buried. And until we bring it to the surface and look at it and have the courage to bring it into the presence of the Lord, it still is there somehow disturbing us and diminishing us. James Martin, in his commentaries on the spiritual exercises, cautions us that when you're on a spiritual journey, you may not take part of yourself, put it in a box, put a string around it, and put it on the shelf, and make believe that it's not a part of you. It's always a part of you. It's just the unattended, unacknowledged part of you that in the season of Advent, we're called to somehow look at this in order to purify ourselves and somehow arrange the inner disposition of who we are to welcome the coming of the Lord. That's the teaching of Advent. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, verse 30, there's a wonderful announcement here. And the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If someone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sit down with him, and I will dine with him, and he with me." I have to open the door. I have the courage to allow the Lord into my life, the deeper part of my life, not the superficial, not just coming to Mass and using the envelopes to support Cambria and the parish and all that. That's not what we're talking about, a deeper part of who we are. Now, we have a reconciliation service coming up here next week, which is a call to look at something deeper inside ourselves. That's Advent. You won't find that in the world now. The world will beckon you to spend more money and buy things and get the right cards and write the cards, and you'll become fatigued getting all of these tasks completed. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or with the real meaning of Advent or the deeper understanding of Christmas. I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will be your friend. I will bless you. You'll notice in John the Baptist's case, the people go out to meet him, but with the Lord in the gospel, Jesus comes to you and knocks at your door and asks you to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Norman Vincent Peale, this great preacher and great writer, holy man, Power of Positive Thinking, many of you have read that was his seminal book. He fantasizes rather nicely this way. He says, "What do you think that God the Father said to Jesus when he was leaving home and coming into the world?" I mean, a father always says something to his son when he's leaving. So he fantasizes that when Jesus is leaving heaven to come up to the earth and come among us, God the Father says, "Carry my love to them." That's the message he gave. And Jesus comes to us. We don't have to go out to the desert. We just have to acknowledge the presence of the desert in our lives and welcome the coming of the Lord. Short of that, we have lost the meaning of Advent. And we're still in the cycle of Christmas. But somehow, in order to have a profound, meaningful experience of Christmas, we have to go through an Advent experience. You know, we'll all gather around the tables, and the wounds will become more obvious, the absence more noticeable. My failings will become more transparent. My selfishness, perhaps easier to see. Whatever it is, there is a way in which the Word of God and the liturgy of the Church calls us to prepare for the coming of the Lord.